we'll start at the bottom of Tzadi Tedem a bit. The Gemara says, "Venapi Korus." Rav v'Rabbi Chanin Amar Tvayu Zem v'Zeh Talmud Chacham. What's an apikoros? This is someone who denigrates a Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Bishu ben Levi Amrei Zem v'Zeh Chaveru Bifnei Talmud Chacham. Someone who is v'Zeh his friend in front of a Talmud Chacham. Bishlam Adon Damar v'Zeh Am v'Zeh Chaveru Bifnei Talmud Chacham. Apikoros. That's an apikoros. Then Avi v'Zeh Talmud Chacham Atzur Megale Panim B'Tora Shalok Alocha Avi. So if you think that an apikoros, according to the mandamar that says an apikoros is a mevazeh chaveiro bifnei talmud chacham, that's an apikoros havi, then we can understand what a megale panim b'torah shelo kalocha is. What's megale panim shelo kalocha? That's one who's mevazeh talmud chacham atzmo. Then we can explain these two different categories. Now the mandamar mevazeh talmud chacham atzmo apikoros havi, the one who says that you denigrate a talmud chacham itself, that is an apikoros. Megale panim b'torah could go in mind. What's Midgalat Panim B'Torah Shlo Kalocha? So Kegamon Menashe Ben Chizkiya. It's like Menashe Ben Chizkiya, as Rashi points out, saying that he Doresha Gadot Shel Dofi, right? We saw that he just, he makes things up. Okay, V'ika, the Mat Ilo HaSeifa, some people write about the Seifa. Midgalat Panim B'Torah, what's Midgalat Panim B'Torah? So that's Rav, Rabbi Chanin Amrei Zeme Vazet Talmud Chacham. V'yochan Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi Amrei Zeme Vazet Chaver Bifnei Talmud Chacham. So, Bishlam, Mandamar, Mavazet, Tamil Chacham, Atzmo, Megalapanim, B'Torah, Avi. If you say that a Megalapanim, B'Torah, is someone who denigrates a Tamil Chacham, then Mavazet, Chaveru, Bifnei, Tamil Chacham, Apikoros, Avi. Then we have a way to explain what an Apikoros is. Apikoros is when you do it to your friend in front of a Tamil Chacham. Ela, Mandamar, Mavazet, Chaveru, Bifnei, Tamil Chacham, Megalapanim, B'Torah, Avi. According to the one who says that denigrating your friend in front of a Tamil Chacham is Megalapanim, B'Torah, then apikoros kugaman. Then what do you leave for, right, what do you leave for an apikoros? What's an apikoros? So, Amar Rav Yosef, kugonhani, the amre, mayahanulan rabbanon. The type of what you need in apikoros is someone who says, what did the rabbanon do for us? What benefit do they bring to us? The didu karu, the didu tanu, they learn Torah for themselves, they learn Gemara or Mishnayot for themselves, they review, they do everything for themselves. So Amar Alei Abai, Hai Megale Panim B'Torah, Nami Hu. That's still under the category of Megale Panim B'Torah. Why Dichtiv? It says, Im Lo Briti Yomam V'Laylo Chukot Shemayim V'Aretz Lo Samti. It was enough for my Brit, my covenant of day and night, and the covenant of day and night is Torah learning. Then Chukot Shemayim V'Aretz Lo Samti, the world wouldn't exist. So what's the question whether the Talmud Chacham provide benefit? Of course they provide benefit. It's, even if for selfish motives, the Torah has benefit to everyone because it keeps the world around. So Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Mehocha Nami Ishma Mino. We could also learn it from here. That's what when Avram is begging Hashem to save stone, it says that if there are a certain amount of tzaddikim in a city, those tzaddikim will clearly save the city. Now, in there it's, we know for sure they didn't influence the city because the city was bad. They didn't have an effect on anybody around them. Nevertheless, if there are tzaddikim there, they would save the whole city. So see over there. Ella, what's the case? Let me give you a real case. You know what an apikoros is? He's sitting in front of his Rebbe, and he remembers something from somewhere else. I don't know if he's asking a question, or he's trying to bring a proof, whatever it is. And then Valmar, he says it this way. He says, this is what we said over there. And he doesn't say, this is what you, my master, said. I mean, he doesn't address his Rebbe in a respectful way, a way that denotes his authority or in the third person. So the fact that he addresses his Rebbe in the second person here, it's a second person plural, right, that is a apikoros, according to this. So, according to this mandamar, if you have Megala Panim Petora is Mevaze Chaveiro Bifnei Talmud Chacham, and that if that already includes his denigrating his friend, it certainly includes denigrating his Rebbe. Right, over here, these are, the Gemara is going to give examples of things that show a lack of respect or proper respect for the Rebbe. Over here, he addressed him in the second person instead of the third person. Rav Amar, Kagon Hane de Beit Binyamin Asya. It's like the people of Beit Binyamin Asya, the location that they're giving of Binyamin, the doctor, or the location, or Mr. Binyamin, the doctor. Tamei Mai Hainalan Rabbanon, who says, who benefited us, right? These Rabbanon. We can look up in the Shulchan Aruch, and we'll know what's Moter, we know what's Asur. The Rabbanon never have anything to add for us. Meaning that, you know, whatever is mutter, whatever is also aser, they never give us a chiddush. That way we wouldn't have known otherwise. Rava, you have a mighty treifta, the baby Binyamin Kameh. So Rava, to set the record straight, when they used to bring treifot from this location or this individual, baby Binyamin, when he used to say, see something that was that he could be matter treifa over here, he would say, I'm the kashrina the churva. Take a look. I'm making sure that an orev, which is a non-kosher animal, I'm making a mutar for you. Without me, you would never have been able to make this mutar. When he saw something that was negative and said, when I say it's an usher, you would have thought this is mutar, and a yona is a bird that is mutar. So nevertheless, I am ushering it for you. So you should know that I am being additive over here. So Rabbi came to, right, override that sense that the Rabbanu were adding nothing, so he made sure that when he gave them a psak halacha, he said, this is not in the Shulchan Aruch. You came to me, I'm going to give you a psak that you wouldn't have known, you wouldn't have known otherwise. Alright, so Rapapa Amar, Kagon Damar, Hani Rabbanon. Papa says, when you say those rabbis. Now, what the problem is not clear here in Hani Rabbanon, Rashi gives different possibilities. First one Rashi says is Kon Damar Hanhu Rabbanan. According to this Gerson Rashi, it doesn't matter if it's Hani or Hanhu Rabbanan. It's Gadam Shemer Oto Talmud Chacham. That rabbi, right? Those rabbis. That's a lashon bizui. It's a way to speak. It's a denigrating way to speak. It's not a proper respect or kavod for the Talmud Chachamim. Rashi gives a second interpretation is Hani Rabbanan. Right, when he says, saying something over. Yeah, but he says in the word Hani instead of Hanhu. Hanhu is in the third person, those rabbis. In the third person versus Hani, these rabbis. So that may be seems to be the problem. You know, it's the second person versus third person again. Or Rashi says that the Hani or Hanhu makes no difference, just a denigrating way to speak about rabbis, which is to say those rabbis, like as if you're casting them off. Like, you know, we don't need those rabbis. So Rav Papa said, if you speak like that, that's considered apikoros. Papa ishtulei v'amar kagon hani rabbanon. Papa slipped up one time and said, oh, like those rabbis, and or like these rabbis, depending what the issue is according to Rashi. Ve'etiv betanito. He sat very fast because he felt that he did something wrong, and he sat a fast to, or he took on upon himself a tanit to rectify it. Levi bar Shmuel v'Ravuna bar Chia v'kam k'takne mit matpechot. Sifrei de Bei Rabbi Yehuda. So they used to fix up, they used to make covers for the Sfarim of Bei Rabbi Yehuda. Now, covers like we're talking about, like in the Sefer Torah that we have, a matpechot, not like today, like a bound book where you have a cover on the bound book, but rather, they're talking about Sfarim that were niglau, that they're rolled up. They used to make covers for them to place on top of them. Kimatu Megillat Esther, when they got to the Megillat Esther, Amrei ha Megillat Esther, lo bai mitpachat. This Megillah Esther doesn't need a cover. Now again, here it's unclear what the issue is. Is the issue, they said it as a question to Rabbi Yehuda, but they said it as a foregone conclusion in a question. They said to him, "Ha Megillah Esther lo bai mitpachat." Of course, this Megillah Esther doesn't need a cover. That's how they presented the question. Rather than presenting the question as, does it need or does it not need a cover? They didn't open up the question. They asked the question with almost like a, it's almost a rhetorical question in the sense that they asked this, assuming that that was the answer already. Right? Of course this doesn't need a cover. Right? That's one possibility what the problem is in the way they phrased the question. The other one might be that, and in that case they were right. And in the end they were right that it didn't need it, but because the way they phrased it showed disrespect towards Rabbi Yehuda that didn't just ask the question. The other possibility is that they are, the problem is the lack of respect for Megillat Esther, that they say, Megillat Esther lo bai mitpachat. It doesn't need a mitpachat, and it really does. Or it should, or even if you're right, don't speak that way. Don't be open and, speaking about it in a manner that is of lacking of kavod. Not, with the proper respect for the, sefer itself, or for Rabbi Yehuda in the way they address the question. So, Amar lehu, ki hai gavna nami mechse ki af kiruta. So Rabbi Yehuda says to them, that type of expression, the way you expressed yourself, that has a tinge of apikorsut, afkiruta, again to it, which means that you are not acting in a manner of proper respect. Nachan Amar, Zeh Korei Rabbo Bishmo. This is someone who calls his Rebbe by his name. Dam Rebbe Yochanan Mipanen Ash Gechazi. Why was Gechazi punished? Mipnei Shekara Lo Rabbo Bishmo. Because he called his Rebbe by his name. Shnei Amar Vayomer Gechazi, Adoni HaMelech, Zot HaYisha V'zeh B'na. Right, my master the king, this is the woman, this is the child, Asher Chia Elisha, that Elisha brought back to life. But it shouldn't say, He shouldn't have said Elisha. Elisha was his Rebbe. How could he say Zechi Elisha? Elisha, or either Shechia, you know, Reb Adoni Elisha, or it's some sort of expression that gives it clear that the name is used with a term of respect, or that he should have just said Shechia Adoni, meaning that he could have just used a term that didn't reflect Elisha's name at all. Right? Today, that's what we make sure when we speak about any Rav, even if you call them, that's just very common in Israel to call the Rebbeim by their first names. But we also always add a some sort of header to that that shows the respect, Rebbe this or Rav this, so that it has a clear connotation of respect and not that you're just calling them by their first name. So Yativ Rebbe Yirmiyah Kameh to Rebbe Zero. Rebbe Yirmiyah was sitting before Rebbe Zero. Yativ Kamar said, Atir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lotzi Nacham Mibeit Kodesh HaKodoshim Ve'alav Kol Minei Migadim. In the future, Hashem will bring a river that comes out of the Kodesh HaKodashim, and growing on the edges, on the banks of this river, will be all sorts of wonderful delicacies, fruits, and fruit trees. Shenemar, it says, "V'lanachal yale asvato mizeh mizeh kol etz machal lo yuvol alehu v'lo yitam piryo l'chodashav yivaker ki meimav min hamikdash heima yotzim." So somebody was sitting there, an elderly gentleman was sitting there, says, Yasher, good job. You know, Yasher Kocha, you're right. That's a good interpretation of the pasuk. V'chein Amar Rebbi Yochanan. And Rebbi Yochanan also said that. So then he asked the Marmalei, Rebbi Yirmiyah, Rebbi Zera, ki hai gavna, mechsei avkiruto. Is this the way that that gentleman spoke? Now you know why they didn't say his name. But that way the gentleman spoke, is that considered avkiruto? What did he do wrong? What he did wrong is he said, Yasher, V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan. He first gave his own opinion, and then gave the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. He says, Yashkoyach, right, Yasher Kocha, I like what you said. And also Rabbi Yochanan liked what you said. He said the similar thing. So is that disrespectful to give his own opinion and his own approval before that of Rabbi Yochanan? So this is what Yirmiyah is asking Rabbi Zera. So Amalei, ha, hai siyu akamisai yelecha. So in that case, it's not, because he's coming to uphold or support your position. And coming to support your position, that's not considered afkiruta, even if he himself gives the approval first, because that's a positive statement. In a positive statement, we're not going to classify that as afkiruta, even though he gave his approval before that of Rabbi Yochanan. Ella, ishmi alach, hashmi alach. You want to know? I'll give you a good case. You want a good case of afka, you know, afikorsu, tafkiruta? I'll give you a good case. Yeah, the Rabbi, Yativ Rabbi Yochanan, the Katarish, we had this in Baba Batra. Right, that Rabbi Yochanan was sitting with Kadarish. In the future, Kadosh Baruch will bring stones that are 30 by 30 amot, precious stones. Right, and then they'll cut them, carve them to the point where they're 10 by 20. And they will be the stones that form the gates of Yerushalayim. So you have these stones, these physical stones will be the sharayach, will be the gates of Yerushalayim. Liglega lav oto tamid. There was a tamid sitting before Rabbi Yochanan and laughed at him. Amar hashtag biata did tziltzula lo mishkachinan. Here today we don't even find but like a small, the egg of a small bird doesn't reach that size. You know what I mean? The jewels and the gems, precious stones that we find today are no bigger than the egg of a small bird. And then now you're going to talk about kuli hai mishkachinan. Right, you're gonna, in the future, we're gonna find stones that are that big. I'm like, we're talking about amot by amot. I mean, these are huge stones. How could it be? So, yamimi flika svinato b'yam. You know, many, sometime later, this Talmud was out on the ocean and his boat was, possibly capsizing. It was under, duress in the ocean. Chazino the Malachi Asharet. And at that point in time, he sees the Malachi Asharet, the Kamenasri Abanim Tobot, the Margaliot. He sees them working and carving, you know, stones and precious jewels. Amalahu, Hani Laman. So the Talmud asks, hey, who is this all for? What are you doing all this work for? Says, Amri Atira Kosh Baruch Lamidan Bishare Yerushalayim. We're getting all these stones ready because this is what Hashem's going to put into the gates of Yerushalayim. Yador Ashkad Rabbi Yochanan, when he returned to shore, he found Rabbi Yochanan, the Yativ Kadarish, that he was sitting and learning again, probably maybe the same drasha. Amalei, Rabbi, Drosh, Vilachanel Drosh. You should go, you know, that's a nice drasha, and you should be the one to be Doresh, Kashem Shemarta Kachraiti. The way you explained it, that's what I saw. And now I know for certain that you're right. So I'm a little Reika, right, you empty one, Imlo Raita, Lo Yamanta. Seeing is not believing, right? I mean, he said seeing is believing. He says what? Had you not seen it, you wouldn't believed it. You poke fun. You are someone who discounts or disregards the words of the Chachamim, because only after you saw it did you believe it. This is Rabbi Yochanan's trademark. Gave him a nice look. It turned into a pile of bones, right, which Rabbi Yochanan did to not just to this individual, to his chavrusa and others, that he gave them the eye, and they turned into a pile of bones. Right. Now, this question is on Rabbi Yochanan's explanation that the size of the gates of Yerushalayim based on the stones that he described. So we say here, I'll bring you in upright. What does it mean that you'll be able to walk in, or that you'll be coming into the gates of Yerushalayim upright? What is the upright? What is the standing? What are the gates of Yerushalayim going to look like? 200 amot tall. Kishtei komot shel Adam HaRishon. Like two stories of Adam HaRishon. That's komimiyut, which is in plural. So you take two komot of Adam HaRishon. How do you know a koma of Adam HaRishon is 100 amot? That Rashi says, that's based on the Gemara and Chagiga, as well as other places, that Hashem, originally Adam HaRishon extended me, right, Shemaim La'aretz, from, you know, heavens to the earth, or me Tzearetz and Tzearetz. And after he sinned, Hashem ba umiyatato, right, he shrunk him down. So over there, when it says Hashem struck him down, it says, v'tashet alai kapecha, right, that you placed on me your hand. So the Rashi says the word kaf in gematria is 100. Kaf, right? Pei is 80, chaf is 20. So it's 100. So that's 100 amot. That was the koma of Adam HaRishon. And then Hashem alai, tashet alai kaf, that Hashem compressed him with his palm. So now when you say shtei komiyot, two komot of HaRishon is 200 amot. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, kufama, it's 100 amot. Keneged heichal v'kotav. Connected the Heichal and its walls. So now, which Heichal we're talking about is a good question. Either, this is talking about Bayit Sheni, and they had a Mesorah in Bayit Sheni, that the length of the Heichal was 60 and the height was 100 Amot. Or it's talking according to Rashi, according to Bayit Rishon, but it's not just talking about the Heichal, it's talking about the entire Kodesh was 100 Amot in length. That means that the Heichal itself was 60 Amot. That's why the Shlomo makes it, it's Shishim Ama or Ko. An additional 40 amot come from the ulam and the walls and the everything that surround them. And Rashi gives you a calculation here if you want to see the walls behind it, the top behind the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the ulam, the wall in front of the ulam, the wall between the ulam and the Kodesh. So if you add those all up, then you get an additional 40 amot, which give you 100 amot in total length. So that's because of the Eichal, the length of the Eichal, or the height of the Eichal, and by Chini, we're 100 amot, that's the komimiyot. That's what we're talking about, the same komot. How do we know that? Shenemar. Asher banenu kinetiim megudalim, right, benuureim, that talking about their sons, right, that are like these giant plants, benotenu kizaviot mechutavot tavnit Eichal. And our daughters are carved, right, out, like the tavnit Eichal, like the prints, the blueprints of the Eichal, or like the size of the Eichal. So we see that there's a reference to the heights of individual, like tavnit Eichal, like the blueprint of the Eichal. That's 100 amot. If you're going to walk through Bekoma, you know, at your height, through the Sharei Yerushalayim, that's 100 amot. So it'll be like the tavnit Eichal. So that's enough. So now you have a problem. Rabbi Yochanan says that they're going to carve out stones that are 30 by 30, carve them to 10 by 20, and they'll be the Sharei Yerushalayim. Over here, we're talking about 100, 200 amot, and Rabbi Yochanan's talking about 20 amot. So how do we reconcile that? So it says, Ki Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kvei de Beziko, that he's talking about the windows for air. I mean, that he's talking about the Sharei Yerushalayim be much bigger, but the windows, or the, I don't know what you call them, these openings, these air holes that are going to be there, they're going to be used, these jewels will be there, and they'll be the size of 10 by 20 amot. So he wasn't talking about the full Shar, right? He was only talking about a portion of the Shar that they enter into Yerushalayim. Alright, my valeu lechufa. What does it mean that this river, that on the banks of the river, trees are going to grow whose leaves are for medicinal purposes? Bitzak bar dume v'rav chiste chanamar lahatir peshel malo. Let's open up the mouth above, meaning that people who are mute will then be able to talk. That's what these leaves will do. They'll be the cure for them. V'chanamar lahatir peshel mato. to open up the mouth down below, which just means those that are akarot, women who have trouble giving birth, they will be opened up, meaning that they will be able to give birth. And Itmar, those that have chizkiyah malatir peh ilmin, bar kapara malatir peh akarot. So here you have it explicitly, a machlokas, about whether it's to allow those that were mute to speak, or those that were akarot, unable to give birth, not to give birth. Rabbi Yochanan amar litrufa mamash, a little bit of B for medicinal purposes. So my litrufa, what does it mean, litrufa? So Bishimol bar Nachmani amar litoar panim shal balei apeh. Right, so litrufa means for those that are, right, balei apeh. What's balei apeh? Those that learn Torah, litoar panim, it will give them a countenance, or a beautiful countenance for those that use their peh, those that learn Torah. So that's the interpretation of what it means, trufa. Why is this thing called, why is the medicine, or what's trufa, what's the etymology of the word here, the breakdown of the word, is the person, the toar panim, for those that use their peh. So Darash Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Simon, called mashchir panav al divrei Torah b'lamazeh, someone who blackens his face over Torah. And the Gemara usually uses this for Tanit, someone who's fasting, their face is blackened, right? It's looked like it's gaunt. And so those that work themselves so hard in Torah in this world, his countenance will be shining. And his appearance is like that of Lebanon, Bachor Karazim, the choicest of the cedars. So Amar Abtamchun Bar Chinai Kol Marv Iv Atzmal Divrei Torah B'Olam Hazeh. Anybody who starves himself over Divrei Torah in this world, the Kodesh Baruch Hu must be the Olam Haba. Well, Hashem will satiate him in the Olam Haba. Again, starving here is that he focuses on the Torah and not this of Olam Hazeh. That he forgoes the pleasures of Olam Hazeh in order to be Osik B'Torah. And that Hashem will take care of him in the Olam Haba. Shneemar Irvayun Mideshen Beitecha V'Nachal Adanecha Tashkeim. And Hashem will satisfy them and fatten them in the Olam Haba. It will take care of them from the Deshen Beitecha, from the fats of his house, and he will feed them from the river, right, of the beautiful running rivers. And in the future, Hashem will give a fistful of goodness to all the tzaddikim. Shenemar, Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom, Yamas Lano, Kel Yeshuatenu Sela. So the word Yamas, right, from Yamos, he'll give us, right, from Amis, is to, really means to force feed, but Amis here means like taking a handful and placing it into, that's what they did with the animal. You took a handful and you stuffed it into the animal's mouth, forced him to eat it. But the measurement or the side is a handful. So Amar Levi, V'chiev Shalom Arkein, is it possible to say that a handful of Hashem? Lo Kvar Nemar, it says, Mi Madad B'Shalo Mayim V'Shamayim B'Zeret Tikein. Right, so that Hashem put together, we talk about Bezeret. Zeret is like his pinky. And that the size, that the span of the Shamayim is the size of Hashem's palm. So how can Hashem give, Yamos, right? How can he give to an individual a handful or fistful if his fistful is the entire Shamayim? It won't fit. How can anybody be granted that size? Right. We're not that far off. So I'm Rabbi. So Rabbi is upset about this. Go Shamar Kain. So Amar, my time alosh chichat v'agarata d'amei b'marava. So he responded to him, right, that they responded to Abaye. Wait, why don't you? You're not so well-versed in your agarata. Because in the Eretz Yisrael, they used to say, Mishmei d'rami b'rava b'armari, Oti rekosh baruch l'tein l'chol tzadik v'tzadik gimel me'ot v'asara olomot. In the future, everybody will get 310 worlds. You got about 100 amot tight. You got 310 worlds to work with. Shnevar lan chila va yesh va otzroteim amalei yesh bigmaratio as tadmei avasara avi. So my beloved ones will get yesh, not the supermarket, but that the yesh is shy from the gematria of shy, which is 310 odamot. So you see here that there'll be plenty of room to get a handful from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Tanya Rabbi Meir Meir. Right, it is a gift. That's correct. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, Binidash Adam Moded Modedin Lo. That the person is, Hashem returns the favor to an individual. The way they give, that's the way he gives back. The Tiv. B'sasa B'shalcha Terivena. So that's B'sasa means a, B'sasa means for peace for peace, or in a measured manner. That you will get back what that which you give. So what does that mean? That means that if you give, and this was going to say in a second, Amar, the Gersa here is unclear. It's whether it's Amar Rebbe, Amar Rebbe Yehuda, or Amar Rebbe Yeshua. All of those are possible Gersa here. V'chiev Shalom Arkin, can you say this? Adam notei maleum solu ani b'olam hazeh. So a person gives a fistful, a handful to an ani in this world. Akash Baruch Hu notei maleum solu olam haba. Then Hashem is going to give him a handful, a fistful in the olam haba. V'aktiv shemayim b'zeret tikein. So the same quote that Abai brought before, which is Hashem's the span of the heavens, or Hashem placed the heavens with his palm of his hand. Sounds like that's the extent of his palm of his hand. So they responded to him. Again, who responded depends on who you think spoke here. It could be Rabbi Meir responding, it could be Rabbi Yehuda responding. It's not clear what the Girsa is over here. Sabata Yomer Kain, you don't say so? Ezo Mida Meruba, which is greater Mida B'Kadosh Baruch Hu? Wait, the attribute of B'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mida Tova Meruba or Mida Perniot? Which is greater, that which is for good or that which is for bad? So obviously the answer is, Avi Omer, Mida Tova Meruba, Mida Perniot. The good Mida B'Kadosh Baruch Hu is always greater than the bad. Mida Tova Ktiv, and by Mida Tova it says, Vayitzav Shchakim Ima'au, Todalte Shemaim Patach, Vayamter Alehem Man Lechol. So it says about, this is in Tehillim Ayin Chet, which really discusses like the whole Yitziat Mitzrayim, like a history review, that Tehillim. So in that review of history, of Jewish history, there it says, oh, in the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for them man. So in time, probably from Man the Gemara in other places, Darshans, like in Yoma and other places in Sota, we Darshans this pasuk describe exactly what the man was like and where it came from, so on and so forth. It says, Vayishkav Shchakim Imal B'dalte Shamayim Patach. He opened up the doors of heaven. And he gave them from there, he rained down man for them to eat. Midah Perniot, when by Perniot says, Omer, Varubot Shamayim Niftichu. Right, that the Arubot, the storehouses of heaven will be opened. And the Gemara tells us that in Yoma, that there are four arubot for every, I think, delet or chalon in the sky. There's four arubot. Over here we have a description of something that's good, and that's like a delet. And then we have something in Perniot, which is talking about arubot ha-shamayim niftechu, right? Something that's small. So when you talk about big and small, when you're comparing good and bad, so over here, that the tzaddik la'atid lavo will be able to take, right, are able to accept the gift of Hashem, even though it's a handful, because if for the bad, it's considered something that's, you know, Hashem provides through a storehouse. A storehouse is available, then certainly for Midah Merubah, where it's talking about a delet, which Hashem gives something good, it's like multiples of that, then a person will be able to handle that type of goodness if he can handle that type of badness, or that type of negative, right, things that will happen. And the same thing over here. By Midah Perniot, again, it says, you go out and see the corpses of those that were, or he came against me, that violated my word. He told, Atam lo tamut, right? Their rotting will not stop. Asham lo techbe. Visham, sorry, it's Isham. It's their fire will not be extinguished. Their own, the whole basar, and there'll be, you know, rotting that there will be appear to all there. So he says, Allah Adam Moshidetzbo, or person sticks his finger in this world, it's singed immediately. There's no, what do you mean it's going to burn forever? It's singed and it's done. There's nothing to talk about. It's not going to burn forever. So how can you talk about bodies, corpses that are lying there and they're going to burn, you know, endlessly burn? That's not possible. So just like Hashem gives the ability for the Risha'im to accept their punishment, even though that would not be of the natural world today, we wouldn't be able to understand it. Nevertheless, Hashem gives them koach, similar midrash, you remember by Kriyat Yamsuf, that Hashem kept them alive in the Yamsuf. He turned them over, right? That he turned them over and over again, that they stayed alive to mekabel the praniyot in the Yamsuf. So it's over there, because Baruch Hu is going to make it possible for the Rishayim to get their punishment. If that's the case, you can meet the Tovah, certainly you can make it possible for the Tzaddikim to be able to accept their gift from Hashem, his handful from Hashem. Okay, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Af HaKore B'Sfarim HaChitzonim. Also, someone who's not Ra'ui Le'olam Haba, someone who reads Sfarim HaChitzonim. What are Sfarim HaChitzonim? So Tanei B'Sifrei Tzdukim. One of them is that Sifrei Tzdukim, Rashi says Sifrei Tzdukim Ishukofrim B'Kel Chai, that they deny the existence of God. Obviously, these are books of some seems to be either religious persuasion or books authored by those religious persuasion, but their content is not appropriate or is as we call it today, we would call it apikorus. So it's something that is denying the Torah or Hashem. Yosef Amar b'Sefer Ben Sira Nami Asur LeMikre. Yosef says even the one of the favorites of the Amoraim, right, the Sefer Ben Sira, you're not allowed to read. So Mar wants to know now. Yeah, okay, by Sefer Ben Sira, Sefer Ben Sira is like almost like a mishle. It has phrases and sayings, common phrases and pitgamim that people used to say in words of wisdom, like an almanac type of book. As if it, you know, words of wisdom are natural statements of that were common statements of wisdom. The Chachamim clearly quote it. The Gemara quotes it in numerous places, and the Amoraim were exposed to it, heavily exposed to it. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm like, bye, my time up. What's the reason? Why can't you read Sefer Ben Sira? So now they're going to give examples of expressions that are found in the Sefer Ben Sira. So now Gemara is going to say, Ilay Mishum Dichtibe Lo Tintosh Kil Dana Mi Udnei De Lo Lezel Mashke Lechavla. So don't skin a fish from its ear, or Gildan is a type of fish, right? Don't skin the fish from its ear so that its skin doesn't go to waste. Right? That's, you know, Ella, what should you do? Tzaliyate. Roast it in its skin, binurab, icho bay darting gritzin, and you'll be able to use it for, you know, a dip or an accompaniment to two loaves of bread. So, that's the Gemara is, what's the problem here? Is that some sort of word of wisdom here? Don't skin the fish, because by skinning the fish, you ruin the skins, and you, I don't even know if you ruin the skin itself, you might even ruin the fish. The fish won't cook, it'll dry out. Whatever it is that is not good by taking off the skin. Why it says mi'udnei from its ear, Rashi says that's maybe the normal place that they used to start the skinning of the fish from was the ear, because that was already an opening that they could go into, they could access to cut over the fish. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? Imi pashtei, if you want to take it literally, that don't skin a fish, because it's going to go to waste, either the skin or the fish will go to waste, that's b'araita namiktav, that's a pasuk in the Torah, lo tashchit eretzah, and you're not allowed to waste. Not allowed to waste things. So don't do over here. By there was laying siege to the city. You're not allowed to cut down the trees, right? The new trees. You're not allowed to go waste things unnecessarily. So that's over here. Taking off the skin is unnecessary waste. So don't take it off. So that's if you're talking about pashtus. If you're talking about midrasha, then if you're talking about drasha, this is really allegorical. It's not to take it literally. Don't skin the fish. What does that mean? Orach arach kamashman. It's teaching you proper conduct. That you shouldn't do something out of its ordinary, right? You shouldn't be boel shlo kedarka. The normal way to be boel is, right, obviously kedarka, but if that's the normal way, you shouldn't go out of your way to do shlo kedarka. That's not appropriate. So that's again, here too, you shouldn't take off the skin of the fish, because that's not the normal way to treat the fish, not the normal way to deal with the fish.
Rabbi is objecting to Rabbi's statement by quoting things from Ben Sira.
He knew, right? He knew that's it. That might be what his objection is over here. What's so wrong with Sefer Ben Sira? So the Gemara says, all right, let's find something else that may be wrong there. Elo, mishum tichtiv, bat avia, matmonet shav. A daughter to a father is a empty gift. It's like a not worthwhile gift. Right, why? Mipachta lo yishan balayla. He will always be, from the worry about her, the fear about her, he won't sleep at night. When she's a young girl, maybe she'll be seduced. When she's already a nara, maybe she'll go out and act inappropriately. Bagra, when she gets already older, reach the age of marriage, maybe she won't get married, worried about shiduchim. She does get married, maybe she won't have children. His kina, she gets older, shematasek shafim, maybe she'll get involved in sorcery. So, all these things that you have to worry about with the daughter, it's not worth it. You know, you get a gift like this and you spend the rest of your life worrying about this gift. So, Gemara says, Arabana nami amrua. What's so bad about Sefer Ben Sira? That's also found in the Gemara. Iyav shado olam belo zcharim uvlo nikevot. Ashrei mi shebanav zcharim, odloi mi shebanav nikevot. We saw again, Baba Batra, so Kedushin, we saw this Gemara before, that the, a person can have, right, boys and girls, and blesses the one who has boys and doesn't have girls. So you see this expression by the Chachamim also of giving a more positive statement about the boys than the girls. Again, I'm not going to address the implications or the meaning of this in Chazal. Ella mishum dichtiv. Right. Oh, now here's something else that's problematic here. Lo ta'il davya b'libach. Don't worry. The Gavre, Gibarim, Katol, Davio. Right? Great warriors, strong men are killed by worry. Ashlom Amra. What do you mean? What's the problem with that? Shlomo said, is it? Da Gabalev Ish, Yashchena. Right? That's it. The worry in the heart of a man wipes him out. It's gone. Goodbye. So Rab Ami Ravasi Kharamar. So what's the solution? Yisichena midato. Remove it from your head. That's how you get rid of worries. Get rid of them. Don't think about them. That's a good thing. Chanamar yisichena l'achevim. You should speak it to others. You should tell over. You should unload your burdens to others. And that will help you. So that burdens kill you, but you have to unload those burdens. How do you unload the burdens? Either you stop worrying, or you actually unload your burdens by telling someone else about it. So, let's see another problem in Sefer Mitzvah. Mishum dichtiv. Manah rabim mitoch beitecha. Don't let everyone into your house. Don't allow people you don't know into your house. And even those that you know, don't bring them all into your house. So that sounds like some sort of expression that don't be generous or welcoming. What are you talking about? That's not even Rabbi says that. So don't have lots of friends inside of your house. Ish reim litro e'ya. That something, a lot of friends end up bad because you end up getting into fights, getting into disagreements. Too many friends, too many problems. So that's it. Don't make lots of friends. Keep your circle of friends small. So that's what he says. So Rebbe made a similar expression. So why are you complaining about the B'Sefer Ben Tzirah saying a similar type of idea? Don't bring everybody into your house. So the man says, no, Elamishum Dichtiv. Here it is. Now we finally got to it. And everybody will get a good laugh out of this. Zaldekan Kortaman. Avdekan Sachsan. Dinofach Bikise Lotzachi. Amar Bamaye Chol Lachma Savmine. Right, so let's start each one of these. Zal Dekan is a conjugation of Zal Dekan. Dekan in Aramaic is Zakan, which is your beard. So Dal, what is Zal, means it's from the word Dal, is a thin beard. A thin beard is Kurtaman. So what is a Kurtaman? So Rashi explains to us, is a Chocham Charif Bioter. A thin beard is an indication of a sharp and wise individual. Av dekan. Again, a conjugation of av, thick. Dekan is a kan, is a thick beard. Sachsan is a fool. So that's it. Someone has a thick beard, consider them a fool. Thin beard, wise, right? And Tamar Chochem. Next. The nafach bekase lotachi. Someone who blows into his cup, or meaning that someone who blows bubbles in his cup, is low tache. He's not thirsty. You don't have that with kids, right? When the kids start blowing bubbles into their cup, they're done drinking at that point in time. So, hey, blow bubbles into your cup, you're done drinking. Amar b'meichol lachman, he starts to ponder with what he's going to eat the bread. Lachman's take the bread away because he's not really hungry. If he's really hungry, he would just eat, not ask questions about what's going on in the bread. He would just eat. In fact, he's already asking what's going on in the bread, what's going to be with the bread. Already indication he's not so hungry. Mande le mavarta b'dikne. Someone who has a part in their beard, nobody can catch that man. As Rashi says over here, ba'ar mimute, that's an indication of slyness. And this is someone who is going to overcome others because he spends his time. And the way Rashi says is because he was always doing this. And that's what got him a part in his beard. You know how... today, when you're learning, people learning have a nice, good beard. They're always going like this. They're pulling on their beard like that. So he says, that's someone who's doing a lot of thought about these sly behaviors and these undermining behaviors. He was pulling his beard like this, that's how he got the part in his beard. That's one Lashon. Rashi brings the second Lashon, is that if you see on a person's beard, you can tell that they ate a Suda. And he will always overcome all those who didn't eat the Suda. If someone who's well-fed and eats a Suda, we talked about this before, the Gemara, that the Amoraim expresses the idea that if someone eats breakfast, right, then he can run 60 parsot, then nobody could catch him in the chol, in the sand, that nobody could catch him. This idea that if you eat properly and eat at proper times, that strength cannot be overcome. So if his beard indicates he ate, and someone didn't eat, cannot overcome him. So here we have what are called hevel. This is, right, these are superstitions, words of foolishness. They have no meaning. None of these things have any meaning. Thin beards, thick beards. This isn't something that's meaningful. And this is what the Gemara says. Sefer Ben Tzirah, Right? Sfarim Achitzorim, it's meaningless. Now, truthfully, it seems to be pretty innocuous. I mean, these are silly things, but they're not, I wouldn't say safe. Sfarim Achitzorim, the fact that they are negative. So what does it mean, Sfarim Achitzorim? So that, Rashi says before, when he said Sefer Ben Tzvi, he says, Sheish Bo Divrei Havai. So okay, Divrei Havai, it's like a little funny thing to read. Ubalehem Lidei Bittul Torah. Leads to Bittul Torah. The problem is not that they're Havai, that these foolish things are found there. The problem is that you'll be grabbed or you'll be involved with these foolish things. And that's Bittul Torah. Right? It's one thing if it's wisdom, or if it's expressions that help you understand, or if you had a better perspective. If we're talking about things that are simply foolish, that's really Bittul Torah. In that case, we say, don't read Sefer Ben Tzvi. Now, at this point, Rav Yosef now amends it, and writes, seems to amend his position, or, I don't know if this is what he meant in his original statement, and he's just clarifying what he meant. I'm Rav Yosef. Good stuff in there, we take from it. It's a very, very interesting modification. Now the Gemara is going to give examples of the good things that are found in Sefer Ben Tzvi. But this is an important distinction here, because Rav Yosef, what he's saying is that there are such concepts, there are books, or there are such wisdom and knowledge in the world, which you can use and you can access, even though the entirety of that body of knowledge or the entirety of that book is not beneficial. You can cherry pick what is good. That's what Rav Yosef suggests over here. It's a very, very interesting perspective on the Sefer Ben Tzvi. Now, it might be that's only true by Sefer Ben Tzvi when you talk about there's good and silly stuff, sometimes innocuous. So in that case, you would say, okay, take the good and leave the bad behind. But if you're talking about like Sefer Tzedukim, we're talking about something that's inherently negative or bad, maybe Rabbi Yosef would not say that. Maybe he's directed at Sefer Ben Tzvi, kind of general principle that he's laying out, right? That in the end, that there's Chochmah B'Goyim, that there is wisdom outside of Torah that can be channeled and used or accessed. So maybe he only says that in a book like Sefer Ben Tzvi. He wouldn't say that about Sefer Tzedukim. Or is he also modifying even the concept of Sefer Tzedukim? If there's good in there, if there's something to take away, then you take it. Or is that, those are mufka legamre. Sefer Tzedukim are not even the parsha of reading. So things like Sefer Ben Tzvi, where Rabbi Yosef might make that chiluk, right? That's open, again, to interpretation what Rabbi Yosef means over here. So, what good things are found in Sefer Ben Tzvi? Isha tova, matana tova, right? Bechik yirei elukim. A good woman is a gift in the, I'm sorry, thank you. Bechik yirei elukim tinatein. That's a good gift. A good woman is a wonderful gift, and she will be granted to those that fear God. Isha ra'ah, tarat labala. A bad wife, a bad woman, is like leprosy to her husband. Samaita kante. How do you cure the leprosy? Yeah, no problem. Yigarshena. Divorce her. Yigarshena mi beito. Chase her out of his house. Divorce her. Vitra pimin, tarato, and get better. I mean, if you have tarat, you can cure yourself. You want to cure yourself of the tarat, get rid of this bad woman. Isha yafa ashrei bala mispar yamav kiflayim. So that a beautiful woman, right? Ashrei bala, her husband is praiseworthy. Mispar yamav kifilim, they will be double. His days will be double. So Rashi says merov hanaa, from the great joy that he gets from his beautiful wife. That way, his life will always be happy. His days will be double. He have no regrets. That's Rashi's interpretation. There are others who bring interpretation that's more allegorical. In Eshet Chayil, a woman with great midot, then Mispar Yamav Kiflayim means that she will give him both Olam Hazeh and bring him to Olam HaBa. That's an alternative explanation. Right, that's right. Sheker Achein ve'Evel HaYofi Yisha Yirat Hashem Hititalal. Not that Sheker Achein and Evel HaYofi are inherently bad, but it's only without Yisha Yirat Hashem. If you have Yisha Yirat Hashem, then the Chein and the Yofi are also positive statements, right? They're not mutually exclusive. So these are all, again, Sefer Ben Tzvi, all words of wisdom, pitgamim, expressions. Hide your eyes, or your gaze away from a nice woman, or really here, Eshet Chein might be another man's wife. Lest you be caught in her trap. Don't go to her husband to sit down to drink wine and intoxicating beverages. Because a beautiful woman has left behind many dead behind her. I mean, if you go and drink with her husband, she's going to try to persuade you or convince you to join her. So there's something negative. So don't make yourself readily available in the house of her husband, because she might be after you. Rabbi Mayu Ptzei Rochel Hamargilim Ledvaria Kinitzot Mavir Gachelet. So here it's also an interesting thing. Rabbi Mayu Ptzei Rochel. Many are the wounded of the perfume sellers. Now, who are the wounded here? The way Rashi seems to interpret is that the perfume sellers get hit by the husbands of the women, because they come to sell the perfume to the women, and not because their wife is spending too much on the credit card, but rather because they're miyached, right? They're in the house. They comes home and he finds Rochel selling to his wife, and they're in yichud. So he smacks the Rochel up, throws him out of the house. What are you doing in here? So the way Rashi learns it. You could say, Rabbi Mayu Ptzei Rochel, mean that the Ptzei Rochel means those that are wounded because of what the Rochel does. Either the Rochel himself that causes the problem, or the perfume he sells, which sounds like the second half of the statement here, which is Ptzei Rochel is the Devar of Eira, because the perfumes light a spark, like a dead coal can be relit. Mean that a coal that is lit. Also, these perfumes bring out the Yetzer Hara. So this is what the Rabbi Mayu Ptzei Rochel, I think, are those wounded by that which the Rochel sells. The perfumes of the Rochel leave behind many, right, fallen, many wounded, because the women use them to attract the men with them. Kikluv Maleuf, just like a chicken coop full of chickens. And then Bateim Leim Mirma, just like the chicken coop is full of chickens, their houses are full of Mirma, right, impropriety. That was a quote that we brought before. Don't let everybody into your house, and even those that you know, don't let all of them in. This is interesting advice. Make sure that many people are endeared to you. You should endear yourself to many, and therefore they all look out for your well-being and welfare. Make lots of friends. And even though you have lots of friends, only reveal your secrets to one in a thousand. Even from your own wife, you should be careful what you say. Don't disclose everything that you know or everything that you want to say. Al teitzar tzarat machar. Do not live the worries and the pains of tomorrow. Ki lo teida ma yeled yom shem la machar enenu. You don't know what today brings. Maybe tomorrow you won't be around. And therefore you're worrying about something that's never going to be for you. You worry about tomorrow, you worry about the future. Who knows if you're going to be around in the future, never have to worry about it. It doesn't pay to worry about the future, right? If you don't even know what today brings. And even if you are right and you make it, who knows what tomorrow will bring? And even if you know tomorrow, what tomorrow will bring, maybe you'll never get to tomorrow. So not worth worrying about that. This is something actually we saw in Baba Batra, at the end of Baba Batra. All the days of an ani are awful. Ben Sira Omar, Afilelot, even at the nights. B'shefa gagim gago. His roof is in the lowest of the roofs. Ubamaro marim karmo. And his vineyards are found at the highest points of the mountain. Mimtar gagim the gago. The rain, all the water runs off all the other roofs onto his roof. Umiafar kamo the kramim. And everywhere, all the work that he does on his vineyard at the top of the mountain is washed down the mountain into the valley, so all those that are below him benefit from what he does, the work that he does above. So both these cases, these are negatives for the ani. These are people who learn Gemara, mean that the difficulty of acquiring and learning Gemara, those are Yimei Aniim. Tov Lei Mishte Tamid, right, the one whose good heart is always in, always enjoying a good, party or a meal. Elu Balei Mishnah. He said, probably better learn the Mishnah, the things that flow and that are easy. Rava Amar Yipcha, Rav says, just the opposite. What do you mean just the opposite? Those that learn Gemara are happy always because they can give Pesach Halacha. They learn the Libud Elfa, so they know what to do afterwards. But Balei Mishnah, they are Aniyim. Why? Because they don't know what to do. You can't paskin out of a Mishnah. The Mishnah is only a highlight. It doesn't give you the bottom line. So therefore, those are the people that are always Aniyim, or Kifasav is Aniyim. Final damer Rav Misharshi Mishmei, the Rav Meidich, the Masya Amanim Yatsev Bahem, right, those that carve or chisel the stones, Yatsev Bahem, they will be upheld by them. Elu Balei Mishnah, It refers to the Bali Mishnah. Bokeh itzim yisachem bam. Those that cut the wood, split the wood, will be sheltered by it or will live in its shelter. Elu balei Talmud. Those who live from the Talmud. Indicating that the balei Talmud are on a higher level than the balei Mishnah. Because they're going to be sachem bam. They'll be sheltered by them, by the itzim. As opposed to the Messiah Avinim, Yatzev bam, will be upheld by them or supported by them. So one is shelters you, it covers you. The other one is just upholding you. So that the idea that the balei Talmud are in a greater level than the balei Mishnah. Chanina amar koyim ani raim ze mishesh lo ra'ah. The days of the power are always bad. That's referring to someone who has a bad wife. V'tov le mishteh tamid ze yesh lo isha tova. That's someone who has a wonderful wife. Again, all his days are happy. Rabbi omer koyim ani raim ze istnis. This is someone who is particular. Tov le mishteh tamid ze shetato yafeh. Someone who is less picky, less particular. He can enjoy everything. As opposed to, right, the one who is an Istanis, who is always, right, fussy, good word for it, he's always worried about what it is, what's not, how can he eat it, how can it be? Right, so again, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Koyimayani Raim, Zerachmani. This is someone who is, merciful. Over here, I don't think, I mean, obviously we're supposed to be merciful, but Rachmani here means him to an inaccessible state, where they feel, emotionally feel everybody else's pain. They're unable to live, you know, comfortably or easily because they always feel the emotional strain of tensions and other people's issues. This is someone who is, right, does not have that emotional connection. Someone who is a, as we call it, a heart of stone. And again, here, I don't think achzari is a negative term. We're not talking about an achzari here. Talking about achzari means that he's able to detach himself from the emotional problems. He's able to detach himself from the emotional, so he doesn't get drawn in or sucked into the emotional side. So he's able to live. He's able to separate, or he's able to corner off or segregate the issues so that he's able to live the rest of his life and not that they overwhelm his life and he's unable to live. The anxiety doesn't override him. Shuvan Levi Amar Koyimayani Raim Zeh Shedatok Tzara. So someone who's Datok Tzara is that Rashi over here brings that goat. That he's always worried. That Tok Tzara is, he's always worried. Tov Le Mishteh Tamid, Zeh Shedato Rechava. This is someone who is able to enjoy life. He doesn't worry. He's calm. He's relaxed. That's Zato Rechava. Rashi brings another interpretation, which Tov, that Tok Tzara is that he's a Ragzan. He gets angered easily. It's someone who is always in a state of anger, a state of disappointment. Whereas Zato Rechava is someone who's calm. Someone who is collected. Someone who can, alright, see the good in everything. How can you make such a statement? The Shabbos and Yom Tov, at least the Ani enjoys those. Okay, the Shmuel, this is what we saw again, when it comes to a change in your normal course of behavior, that's the beginning of sickness. Sickness is brought on here. The Gemara originally, this statement was originally made by a Nida. That's where the Gemara has it by Shinui Veset. It's normal change of vest is indication of choli, indication of sickness. And Shmuel applies it also by general statement. Anybody who changes their normal pattern of behavior, their normal routine, that leaves them in a state of sickness, of choli. So it's over the Ani, all week, he's suffering, he barely has anything to eat. And Shabbos Yom Tov, all of a sudden he has little more, he has plentiful. Even though it's not like the Yemei Ani Raim of before, the weekdays, but nevertheless, it's going to land him in a bad place in the end because he's changing his normal behaviors. When he changes normal behaviors, that's an indication, or usually a symptom of the fact that he will get sick, and therefore it's not any benefit to him. In the end, the good is bad. Right, so we'll stop over here.